forever. Woo! Hallelujah. If you didn't get something tonight, your wood's still wet. That's too bad. I'm sorry for you. Hallelujah. Let him soak in. Amen. Glory to God. Woo! Hallelujah. How many are excited about Jesus tonight? Isn't he wonderful? Isn't he awesome? The same yesterday, today, and forever. Holy is his name. Worthy is his name. Why is it worthy? Because of what he's done. Amen. Because we put faith. It's not just the name, but faith in that name. Amen. Remember what Peter and John said? It's not just the name. They said, what? Faith in that name has made this man whole. Hallelujah. And faith in his name will make you whole. It'll make us whole. Amen. In our spirit, in our soul, in our body, we can be made whole in the name of Jesus and all that it represents. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful what Jesus has done? Praise God. Woo! I might just preach tonight. Hallelujah. No. Amen. I will preach tonight. I'm going to speak here in a minute. But praise the Lord. I'm glad you're here tonight. We don't have anybody online tonight. I don't think so. Praise the Lord. But we're going to get there. Amen. How many believe? We've got somebody just to work the Skype on Wednesday night. Praise God. I'm sure we'll have a few more shortly. So praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, glory. We have some announcements tonight. We've got an announcement on June the 4th. Hans Zanster will be here. Hallelujah. How many are expecting? Be expecting. Hallelujah. We're going to draw on the anointing of what? The Holy Spirit that lives and resides and he walks with. Hallelujah. Whoo! I've seen some things happen. Praise the Lord. And so we've all seen a few things happen. Well, let's believe God. Amen. And we're going to receive from the anointing of God. Amen. The power of God, the presence of God. How many know God uses people? Amen. Glory to God. He used the apostles, didn't he? Amen. He used Jesus. God used Jesus. Amen. To bring what? Redemption. To bring healing. To bring deliverance. Hallelujah. And it fell over onto the apostles. And now that same power that raised him from the dead lives in you. Hallelujah. How many know you've got dead raising power in you? Glory to God. Woo! Hallelujah. No case too late, right? No case is too late. As long as they're here on the earth, it's not too late. Well, maybe if they put them in the ground and buried them, I suppose it might be a little late. But praise God, there's no case too late with God. No case too hard for him. Even if they died, they can rise again. Amen? How many believe that? We'll just pray. We can keep praying. Believe God. Hallelujah. I know David Hogan's ministry down in Mexico, if someone dies, they set up a 24-hour vigil. And the reason they do that is after 24 hours, they have to bury them. But, praise the Lord, how many know? You know, they haven't had all of them rise from the dead by any means, but they've had a number. Amen. I think it's around 400 and some now. Over 400 people. You know, within their ministry. I'm not saying one person, but within their ministry, that's more than most people get. Hallelujah. I mean, it's an increase. Hallelujah. I'm sure God wants to see more. Praise the Lord. So, who's on board? Who's a dead raiser in here tonight? Amen. Amen. How many are lifers in here tonight? You've given your life to Jesus. You're sold out to him for the rest of your life. You're not going to quit. You're not going to stop pursuing him. You're not going to stop praying in the Holy Ghost. He gave us the Holy Spirit for a reason. So that we can walk with him and he'll be our helper and our teacher and our guide, our intercessor, the one that's going to stand by us and bring us into the very mind of God, that everything that he says you are can come forward in your life. Amen. Hallelujah. Woo! I'm thankful for Jesus, but I'm also thankful for the Holy Spirit. The third person of the Godhead moved inside of you. Oh, my Lord. Hallelujah. You know, we are blessed people. I was listening, even just today, I was reading about a little bit about a few people. They were there in India and they were slaves in some of these camps where they become slaves sometimes. They felt they had to take out a little loan for an emergency, the hospital, like $70, you know. Not much money, but they couldn't pay it back right away, and so they become slaves in these brick kilns, and they have to make bricks, and they're there, and they had received Jesus into their life, but their master was a Muslim, and he would beat them all the time, try to get them to recant and turn away from Jesus. How many are thankful we're not beaten tonight? Aren't you thankful they didn't beat you before you came to church tonight? Or there, you know, you're not going to get beaten on your walk home or on your way home. They're not going to stop you and take you out and beat you because you went to church. Hallelujah. How many are grateful? I'm thankful. We have no excuse. Amen. We can pursue God all we want to. We can have all of Him that we want. But how many know it's our choice? We have to decide. No one can do it for us. Amen. I mean, I can preach and I can encourage us and we can see the Word of God and it can strengthen us. But how many know ultimately we have to decide to pursue Him? Amen. Amen. We got to decide. All right, Lord, how much of Him do we want? Are we really hungry for Him or are we making excuses for ourselves? Well, such and such happened. Well, we weren't beaten last night. You didn't go to bed with bruises on you. We've got a God that loves us. And we can know Him all we want. We don't have to fear punishment. We don't have to hide. We don't have to come here and turn the lights out and praise God quietly. Because we don't want someone to hear us. We are a blessed nation. We are a blessed people. I thank God. I was just worshiping Him. I said, Lord, I think I'll just worship You for a while. That You allowed me to be born, Lord, free. Where I can worship You freely. Thank You, Father. And I know there's grace on people to suffer some things, but you know, it should move us to pray for them and to intercede for the world. Amen. Then, of course, there's people that don't know God yet. They never find that plan. They never find the first step of receiving Jesus. Lord, help us. Lord, help us. We have so much given to us here. We have so much knowledge. We know some things. You know, I've been thinking, I don't know why I'm talking like this, but I'm not going to worry about it. You know, because I've been thinking about it a lot. You know how privileged you and I are. You know, it's not an accident that you found this message, God, that you found the message of praying in other tongues and you can know what it's about, what it's for, that it will build you up on your most holy faith, that it'll give us the perfect will of God, that it will help us die to our flesh, that will cause us to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit and with God, that is, at whatever we want, we can walk with Him. We can know Him if we're willing to just utter other tongues, just begin to speak in tongues. We can do it while we're in the shower, while we're driving the car, while we're mowing the grass, while we're doing the dishes, when we're walking around the house, when we're taking a walk or we're taking our dog out. We can pray in the Holy Ghost. We can pray the perfect will of God, the third person of God Himself praying for us. The very mind of God. God praying back to God for us. The one that was there before the foundation of the world that knows God's perfect will for your life. Who heard all that God said when He put your, when your name came up. And the plan of God before the eons of time, before you ever came into existence. God's purposes and plans were laid out and the Holy Ghost heard them all. The Holy Spirit, He heard them. He knows them and He knows how to pray them out through you. You say, well, why do I have to pray them out? If He already knows, why doesn't it just come to pass? Because God has chosen to give us a free will. And when we choose to allow Him to pray for us, we're saying, okay, God, have your way in my life. I allow you to pray out the very perfect will of God, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. Amen. The very will of God. That good, pleasing, and perfect will. His will. What is God's will? Well, we know part of it, don't we? It's right here. This is God's love letter to you and I. And sometimes we just set it on the shelf and we let it sit there. We can read it any time. God, speak to me. Lord, I'm praying. Speak to me, God. And we got a whole book of words where He's already been talking to us. He already talks to us. And yeah, it's His general will, but how many want know His general will? That He wants you well. He wants you healthy. He wants you in peace. Peace of mind. Do you know how many people would pay you? They may be millionaires. They pay you $1 million just to get a little peace in their mind. And you can have it every day. The peace that passes understanding. It's a peace that man can't give. Hallelujah. We were talking about the joy that's in our soul. How many like joy? There's a joy that God gives that no person can give you. I was just looking today. It was so exciting. They had a little video that someone had posted. I think it was last night or anyway. I was checking it out. And it was so exciting. This boy, well, this young man, I should say, probably in his 20s. And he gave his heart to Jesus. And he was baptized and full of the Holy Ghost, totally delivered from all drugs, totally delivered of 16 years of drug addiction and pornography, free, totally free, no desires. How many know God's power is great? God wants to set you free. God wants us to walk free. We have ability. We've got strength. We've got the Holy Ghost in us. And if we'll spend time praying, He'll use us. But it's going to be out of an overflow of that relationship that He has given us. Hallelujah. Greater is He. How many believe the greater one lives in you? Amen. Hallelujah. I know I've been talking about grace. I'm talking about it right now. The grace of God. He gave us grace to pray. He gave us grace. He gave us certain things that are by grace. How many you started praying in tongues? You know, you pray in tongues, but how many of you could learn that language? We can't learn it. It's given to us. It's a grace. It originates in heaven. Originates from God. It's supernatural. It's so powerful. Hallelujah. It's as powerful as raising the dead. It's that powerful. Because it'll change us. It can take us from a place of death to life in Him. To joy unspeakable and full of glory. To a place where it doesn't matter what our circumstance look like. It looks horrible. But we have joy and we have peace because our Father's faithful and we know Him. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. One little bit. We've got it right under our nose. Our answer's right under our nose if we'll be willing, if we care enough. Or do we want to just keep everything to ourselves? You know, we say, well, God's the problem. Why isn't He doing this and that? Why isn't He? Well, He has to have a vessel that's yielded enough, that's dead enough that He can flow through. That's you and I. You say, well, we're so far and He can use you. He can use you now. As far as He can, He will. But how many know there's more of God? There's no end to Him. We can pursue Him until we die. We're going to keep pursuing Him, and there's more and more and more to know of Him. He is endless. Hallelujah. All-knowing, all-powerful. Just like that, things can change. One touch. It was one wind that came on the day of Pentecost. They were seeking God, and one day it didn't look so good. Lord, we've been here 10 days. They're probably sweating, getting hot. You know, I'm sure somebody went out and got fast food at least once or twice, you know. Bring some more food. We're hungry. We're waiting on God. We're seeking God. We're praying. They were trying to do their best just to stay in Jerusalem. But then, hallelujah, there was a rushing, mighty sound of wind. Get ready, because there's going to be some suddenlies in this earth very, very soon. You say, well, I don't know. I mean, what do you mean by soon, Pastor? 5 years, 10 years? I'm not worried about what it is. It could be next week. Could be tonight. The mighty rushing wind, the Spirit of God. The Bible says in the last days, He's going to pour His Spirit upon what? All flesh. That means everybody. Not just the church people, that's the world too. He's pouring out His power, His glory upon all flesh. The sons and daughters were going to prophesy. Hallelujah. How many is a son or daughter? That's all of us. Whether we like it or not, you're a son or daughter. And if you belong to God, you're His son. You're His daughter. Amen. You prophesy. The old men will see visions. The young men will what? The old men are dream dreams. Young, I forget. Anyway. I get it mixed up sometimes. But anyway, we're going to have dreams and visions, right? Amen. Hallelujah. The old men will dream dreams. They say that's because they sleep more. I don't know if that's true, but praise the Lord. It means that they're going to get a vision. They might be 80 years old, but they'll have a vision. They'll enter their ministry like Moses did. And they'll go forth in power and demonstration. So don't give up. You're not too old to fulfill what God's called you to do. If you're still breathing, there's still hope for you. Amen. Hallelujah. Woo! Good news in the house tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's good preaching, Pastor Ted. Anyway, I told you I might preach a little. I don't know. We'll see. Oh, glory. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word tonight. We thank You for the truth of it, Father. We thank You that Your word is full of life. It's full of power. And that Your word speaks to us, Lord. It fills us, Lord. We thank You, Lord. Lord, we thank You that we can love what You have said to us, Your love letters to us. Lord, You decided long time ago to write these things down, Lord. You've given us the book that speaks life to us. You said Your word is spirit and it is life. Father, bring life to us tonight. Help us to understand, Lord, more than what I would say, Father, more than what You're saying through me. Anoint the ears to hear and the hearts to understand, Father. Lord, we want to walk with You. We want to know You. We want to be transformed into the very image of Jesus. Oh, Father, that is our desire, to walk with You, Father. Not to walk behind You, but to walk with You, Father, hand in hand, possessing everything that You have given us, Lord. For that is Your heart's desire, that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, Lord. We thank You. We thank You for Your word now tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, glory. Hallelujah. Maybe we are talking about revival tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But glory to God. All right, Holy Spirit, we thank You. All right. Who knows what we've been talking about on Wednesday night? Anybody know what we talked about not last week, but the week before? You remember? Anybody remember? Okay. Just checking. How many know we've been talking about grace, understanding grace? And the reason we want to understand grace is because God is the God of grace. He's the God of all grace. It's how we're saved. We were saved by grace, right? Through faith. Not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. Amen. How many know salvation was the gift of God? Who had something to do with you being saved? You did, in the sense that you chose Him. But Jesus already paid the price before we were ever born. Amen. In this generation anyway. Hallelujah. And the Bible says He was slain before the foundation of the world. And all the Old Testament saints, they got their glorified body now. I believe they do. At least they went to heaven, I'm sure. The Bible said He led captivity what? Captive. Gave gifts to men. Hallelujah. He that descended also ascended into the heavenlies. Amen. And He brought them with Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, it's kind of like in, even in Noah's day, how many remember Noah? And the Bible says that evil, their hearts were evil, what? Continuing. There wasn't any righteous other than Noah. He found favor in the eyes of the Lord and his dear sweet wife. I'm sure she must have been something to stick with him, you know. How many know? Couldn't you imagine? Oh boy, here's his project now. God told him, you know. The next project, God said, right? Oh boy. But she knew. She knew in her heart he had heard from heaven. And he got the dimensions of that ark. It's pretty specific, wasn't it? How many know God can give you specifics? Exactly how to help run your business, right, sister? Amen. He's bringing specifics. How to prosper. May not be the same as the world. Well, what are you doing that for? That's what God said do. Begins to work out for you. Hallelujah. Somebody else try it. Might not work. Amen. But God can be very specific. When he was to Noah, and in his day, what evil. But God, what did Noah find in the eyes of the Lord? What does the Bible say? He found grace in the eyes of the Lord, or favor with God. God's loving kindness was upon him. And he began to build the ark. And the grace of God, we've been talking about what that grace is. What does it actually do for us? And what does it do through us? It works in us something. Really, the simplest definition that I know of the grace of God is God's love in action. He begins to work with us. His power in us. It is like God himself, right? Living on the inside of us. It is his power, his divine ability that comes and empowers us and gives us that grace to do what we're doing. Just like he did on Noah. I'm sure there was a grace that came upon him and probably his sons to help him to build that ark. 120 years I think it took him. You know, so hey, that's a while. And the Bible said he preached righteousness and got how many converts? Just his family. That's it. Nobody else wanted to repent. However, how many think when the rain came, some people repented? Amen. I'm sure they did. They began to cry out, oh God, save me. How many think God saved them in the end? God is merciful. Amen. God is merciful. Even though they didn't get on the ark, they, you know, I'm sure when the rain came, they were crying out for mercy, some of them. I'm not saying all of them, but, you know. But Noah and his sons and daughters-in-law, eight and all, they were saved by God's grace. Hallelujah. How many are glad you're saved by that grace? Woo. It causes us to be enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge. We read that last week. We read a bunch of scriptures last week. Or last time, I should say, a couple weeks ago. Well, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. Right here to this carnal bunch, praise the Lord. The Corinthians. God said he caught his grace can enrich us. 4 and 5, I thank my God always in your behalf for the grace of God, which is given to you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge. Oh, how many are thankful that you're enriched by the grace of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo! Galatians 1. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. Now, I don't want you to get the idea that we have nothing to do. I mean, we didn't have anything to do with the price that was paid. But how many know everything's free to us because Jesus paid a high price? Amen. It's only free to us, and it's only by grace because of the price that he paid. It wasn't cheap. It cost God all that he had in Jesus. It cost Jesus everything. He laid down his life, and he expects us, because we love you. We don't have to, but we get to. Lay down our life. Amen. Really, it's what he wants. If you really want to be his disciple, that's what he said, didn't he? He said, if you want to follow me and be my disciple, Luke 14, what did he say? He said, we have to love God and love Jesus more than we love mom and dad, more than we love brother or sister, more than we love husband or wife, more than we love our own lives, or we cannot, impossible, be his disciple. It takes a sacrifice. It takes a decision. And by the grace of God, we are able to make that decision. His divine influence in our heart. He draws us and we yield. But if we refuse him, he will let us go our own way. He'll let us be half-hearted. You know, you say, well, I just want to go to heaven. And if that's your attitude, hopefully you'll, you know, keep enough and not go into the world far enough to trample the grace of God, because there's things that can be done. The grace of God can be trampled on. Do you understand that? It's not something to be taken lightly. It's something that God has given us and made a part of us and works in us. Oh, glory to God, enabling us and empowering us in knowledge, enriching us, it says here. Glory to God. And here, what did I say? Galatians. I didn't read that yet, did I? Galatians chapter 1. Probably thought I forgot, but I didn't. Praise God. Verse 6. Galatians 1, verse 6. It says, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Oh, my, my, my. How many know? Sometimes anybody ever heard another gospel? Sounds pretty good. Sounds close to what I believe. It's almost there. It's not quite. It's another gospel. How many know we can be tempted in this day and age? These are the last days. Jesus said the first, one of the first things he said, right? Matthew 24. Watch out that you don't be, what? Deceived. Why? Because there are many voices that cry out in the earth. He said, some of them are going to cry out, Jesus is here. Don't believe it. Don't go after another gospel, but receive the true grace of God, which teaches me. Titus said in chapter 2, 11 and 12, what did he say? Teaches me to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. Empowers me to walk in holiness and righteousness. Empowers me to be a man of faith, a man of prayer. It empowers me to be able to walk with God. It doesn't just give saving power, but he keeps us. There's a keeping power, a standing power, a power that lets us walk with him. That's the grace of God that I know. I don't know about you, but praise the Lord. I'm glad it's working in us. And then we're here in the same chapter. Let's take a look at the 15th verse. He says, but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me, what? By his grace. How many are thankful that you're called by God's grace? Hallelujah. He drew you. He called you. He said, here from my mother's womb. Paul's writing this. Paul the apostle. You know, he had said, hey, I was one born out of due time. He said, I think I should have been one of those disciples, you know, one of those apostles. And yet he was an apostle and walked in great power. And you and I, how many know all of us can be his disciple? We can all walk in the power of God. God wants to display his glory in the earth, but he needs some vessels. Amen. It's good preaching, Pastor Doug. He needs some transformed people, some people that are willing to lay down their life and even love not our life, he said in Luke 14. You know, we don't even our own life. In other words, maybe we got desires on the inside of us, but are we willing to lay them down to follow him, whatever that may be, wherever he may ask you to go? Say, well, I'm not hearing anything. Well, keep on praying. I know some people that waited years. They didn't stop. They didn't quit. They kept praying in the Holy Ghost. 3, 4, 5, 10 years, and finally the Holy Ghost said, and they heard him clearly, here's what I want you to do right now. And then they were like, oh my God, you what? It could be start your own business. It could be go to some country, or it could be, I want you to keep on praying and be my intercessor. What, Lord? Yep. I want you to get up 3 o'clock every morning before you go to work and spend 3 or 4 hours in my presence praying for people. Would you do that? Yeah, Lord, but nobody sees me do that. I know. That's exactly his point. He said, I know. Will you lay down your life for me? Will you be someone that'll intercede? Pray for some people. I need to do some work. Well, Glory, you know, we get all excited, you know. Oh, I want you to go to Africa and have great, massive revival. Oh, yes, Lord, I hear you. Oh, there'll be tens of thousands that'll come, and you'll have miracles, signs, and wonders, and everyone will see what. Oh, that's right. It's not me doing the works, is it, Lord? I forgot about that. It's you doing the works, that he might be glorified. See, there's a death even in operating in his power. Sometimes we forget. You say, well, why? Because we're human. If we're not careful, we have to keep our heart and our life surrendered. Pride is a tricky thing. And sometimes it comes and, yeah, we recognize it sometimes, but sometimes we don't. Yeah. Well, you know, I got enough money. I'll be all right. You know, but God's asking you to do just a little more. And you know you could do something, and he's telling you. You're hearing it. You know, I mean, any one of us, I mean, think about that. If you get retired, some of these retired people I know, get out, you know, you can go to work at McDonald's, maybe make $300 or $400, you know. Well, it's not much, but you know, it might support a missionary. Huh? Will you lay down your life? I'm just giving an example. I'm not saying he's telling you to do that, but you know, will you lay down your life for me? Just asking. Hallelujah. It's all good preaching. It's by grace. But that grace works in us, and we have to allow it. And we have to receive it, and we have to be in position to receive it. We have to lay down our life, say, yes, Lord. I'll obey. I'll follow you. I'll pray. I'll let you. I'll let my flesh be crucified. I'll let myself not worry about how I feel. I'll keep praying, Lord. I'll let your joy rise up in me because you promised it, Father. Even though maybe I don't feel anything, Lord, I'm going to keep praying. You know, so many Christians today, they just want to feel something. Do you know how many times I've prayed for people and I felt nothing and God did a miracle? A lot of times. I felt absolutely nothing. They felt something. I didn't. Didn't matter. God's power. He's faithful. He didn't say, if you feel something, lay hands on the sick. He said, no, we'll lay hands on the sick. God forgive us when we don't. You never know when there's going to be a miracle. It just may come through you. And I know there's a lot of times we want to do it the right way. We don't want to just, you know, flimsily lay hands on people, but let them know the truth. Amen. Well, what if a miracle doesn't happen? Well, are they any worse? Some people say they might be, you know. If you do it the wrong way, they could be discouraged. But hey, don't be, you know, we encourage them. Don't be discouraged. Most people tell you, thanks for praying for me. That's what I find. Hallelujah. Well, you know what's going to happen if you don't, we lay hands on nobody? What's going to happen if you lay hands on nobody? You don't pray for anybody around you, never. What's going to happen? How many miracles are going to flow through you? I can give you the answer. Zero. Zero. I remember the first time I ever laid hands on somebody, I didn't even know what I was doing. I didn't even know I could lay hands on the sick, really. Well, I did know that, but I really wasn't, you know, I wasn't really in the, I hadn't been filled with the Spirit very long. I really wasn't praying in tongues much. I didn't know to. That's the main reason why. But I did get filled with the Holy Spirit. But I was out on the street ministering it one day, and this guy asked me if I'd pray for him. I said, yeah, I'll pray for you in a Bible study sometime, you know, whatever. But, and I don't know, he was standing maybe from about this far, you know, a little closer. We were close together, and I got about this far away from him, about where Joseph is. And I felt somebody grab my shoulders and turn me around. Now, I've never laid hands on people before, never. In my life, this is the first time ever. And I walk over to him, and all of a sudden I find myself, put my hands on this guy, just said, thank you, Jesus, for healing him. Thank you, Jesus, for healing him. I've never prayed for anybody in my life. I just, thank you, Jesus. I thank you for healing him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for healing him. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. And he starts feeling, he said, oh, my God. My God, something changed. My ribs aren't stuck together. They've changed. I think I'm getting taller. Oh, my Lord, God's moving. Something's moving in my body. I feel it. And he got all excited about being healed. He said, oh, I told the Lord he'd have to heal me if I'm going to be a missionary. Like he said, it wasn't a sign to me, but it was to him. Well, it was a sign to me, too. I'm just like, thank you, Jesus. Thank God you did something. Hallelujah. You know? My great faith at the moment, I didn't know. I'm learning. We begin to worship God. Just praise him. Hallelujah. How many know he is worthy? He is worthy. Anyway, that's his grace that moves in us and works with us. It is a power that's on the inside of us. It is his grace that gives us the ability, what? To pray in the Holy Ghost, to know him, to walk with him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How many are thankful for his grace tonight? We can receive that grace, that unmerited favor in a sense. It is so great and so much greater than we really realize. Oh, hallelujah. I haven't even started. I have started, but how many know? Hallelujah. He is the one that releases that grace to us, strengthens us in that grace, encourages us to continue to move forward. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. All right. Now, I think I'm going to pass over to that. I'm going to go over here to where I believe I'm supposed to go to here a little bit. A lot of times we know in the Bible that grace and faith are often mentioned together. How many know that? You know, we're saved by what? Ephesians. We know that chapter, right? We're almost there. We're in Galatians. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. A lot of times it's used together. There's grace, what? And faith. And here we see it in Ephesians chapter 2, 8 and 9. I quoted it earlier, but I'm going to read it right now. For by grace are ye saved through faith. Amen. You got it. Here we got it. Grace, we're saved by grace, what? Through faith. And you know, the thing is, I used to think, you know, we just, you know, I had a guy that I worked with that worked for my dad, and I was trying to talk to him about the Lord, you know, and he'd say like, well, we just got to believe, right? We just got to believe. And how many know we do have to believe? Amen. But how many know it's more than a belief? The Bible says we have to what? Believe in our heart. Don't we? See, we're saved by grace through faith. We have to put faith with it too. Amen. It's not just believing that Jesus is. The Bible says the devil believes and he trembles. You know, there's a lot of people, they believe in Jesus. They believe he was a good man, or they believe that he, some even believe he was the Son of God. Some believe he died and rose again. But they won't give their life to him. How many know that? They've not said, I surrender, Lord, I believe, I receive you to be my Lord and Savior. And how many know they're not saved? Some people think they are because they went to church. Oh, well, brother, don't you want us to come to church, Pastor? Yes, I do. But we're not coming to church just to play patty cake. We're here to seek God. We're here to pray. We're here to worship him, to be what? Strengthened in our faith. To be what? Encouraged in who we really are. To know him. To be strengthened. That's one of the things we come to church. How many were strengthened during the worship tonight? I tell you, I was strengthened. Glory to God. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Hallelujah. We were singing about joy. And look what the, how many remember what the Lord has done? He healed my body. He took my pain. He saved me. I don't know about you, but he saved me. Hallelujah. I know it says just in time, and I'm sure he saved me just at the right time. I would give my heart to him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But anyway, grace and faith are often used together. And if we don't understand grace, our faith can become of a works mentality. How many know that? We try to earn something from God. Oh, I gotta, you know, believe. I gotta try to really, you know. But when we understand the grace of God, that he paid the price, that he already purchased it. Our faith is in what Jesus has already done, that he already became sick for me, that he became sin in my place, that he has borne my poverty. Hallelujah. He took my shame. He bore the, you know, he bore that worry, that fear at the cross. Hallelujah. So that I might what? Have peace that passes all understanding. He is the one. He is that Prince of Peace. He already took it, and our faith is in what his grace has accomplished. Grace is not only saving power, but it's also a keeping power. How many ever realized God saved you, but he's been able to keep you? Amen. You're still here. Hallelujah. There's a scripture there. I believe it's in Romans. No, I can't remember, Lord. Anyway, it talks about to your own master we stand or fall. And God is able to make us stand. Amen. He's able to make us stand because to our own servant, he says, to our own master, you stand or fall, and I'm able to make you stand. There's a grace that God gives us to keep us and to cause us to stand. And of course, in the Bible, we see there's a lot of places. How many ever read the New Testament? And you know that in the greeting and in the ending, they call it the salutation or the benediction, you know, the hellos and the goodbyes. How many know a lot of times we see grace mentioned there? Amen. In the epistles, and grace is the power plant that makes our faith really work. Hallelujah. Amen. Isn't that good? It is a power plant that's on the inside of us. It is the power of God. It is God working with us. It is part of who we are. He indwells us with his grace and with his power. Hallelujah. Whew. We'll go over that sometime. Maybe next week we'll look more at the salutations, the greetings. And there's a reason that they use the word grace. See, under the old covenant, a lot of times you'll see, grace and peace be multiplied to you. Why? Because under there, a lot of times the Jewish people would talk about, how many know, they would say shalom, you know, or peace to you, nothing missing, nothing broken. Well, in the Greek society there, other people, the Gentiles, they'd say, you know, they would talk about grace be multiplied to you. God's, in other words, favor be upon you, you know, and so a lot of times you'll see both those words, grace and peace be multiplied to you. And so they're talking about the grace and the peace of God together. They're making a greeting for a reason. But anyway, hallelujah. So a lot of times in the Old Testament, the word grace meant merciful, or to have loving kindness, favor shown by a superior to someone that was what? Inferior to you. It was a grace. It was a favor bestowed upon people, loving kindness, where there was no obligation to show that, right? To give that anything to that person. To show that kind of favor. Like, you don't have to. How many people ever gave some money to a homeless person? They're inferior to you, right? Why? Because they don't have anything. They're broken. They don't deserve anything. But how many ever gave them a little money, or maybe you brought some food to them, you got them a cup of coffee, or you bought them some food. You did something that is grace. It is the favor of God. It is God's unmerited. They didn't merit it. They didn't do anything to earn it from you, right? So, well, they don't have anything. There's nothing they can do. They may even be on drugs or broken, or, you know, they can't give you anything in return. How many know Jesus said that we are to go forward and we're to call those into the kingdom, right? If you do a banquet, call the people that can't repay you and bless them. See, grace, in the simplest definition, would be God's love in action. His love being brought forth in action in our life, in the lives of others, in us and through us. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Anyway, hallelujah. Grace is a word that expresses the vital difference between human attempts to gain God's favor and the way in which a personal relationship with God is actually established and developed. That's the difference right there. See, grace expresses that difference. It's not human attempt to gain God's approval or to get something from God with our own ability, right? We all know we can't get anything in our own strength, right? Amen. You know, human strength. I'm not talking about the things that God gives us. Now, prayer, worship, it strengthens us, what? In our spirit. And we have to remember many times, because we're human and we live in this body, how many know? Sometimes we get more body conscious than we do spirit conscious. Or we get more mind conscious, you know, what we're thinking and our idea, instead of what God is saying. Amen. That's one reason he gave us the word to govern our life, so we know how to walk. Amen. We know how to talk, right? How many know it takes faith to walk with God? Faith has a voice. Faith speaks, right? Amen. The end result. How many know you have what you say? That's the grace of God in action. When we, what, speak to the mountain, right? How many know what Zechariah 7:4 says? Anybody know? I know you know it if you hear it. I had that marked, I think. Yeah, I did. Ha ha. Praise the Lord. Zechariah 4:7, I mean. Sorry, it's not 7:4. It's chapter 4, verse 7. I'm not sure which. I think I got that mixed up. But here he says, who are thou, O great mountain? How many ever had a mountain in your life? Problem? difficulty, something you want to overcome. How many know a mountain looks impossible? Amen. So anybody ever stood at the base of a mountain and looked up? Doesn't look like anything's going to happen. I got this mountain in front of me. It says, here we go. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a what? A plain. In other words, how many knows what a plain is? That just means it's going to become level. It's like a highway. He shall bring forth the headstone, therefore, with shoutings, crying. What's he going to do? Shoutings and crying. He speaks what? Grace unto that mountain. God's favor, God's power, God's ability. I say grace to the mountain in front of me. Anybody ever spoke grace to your mountain? Maybe it's a mountain of unforgiveness. Oh Lord, I do forgive, Lord. I speak grace to that mountain in front of me. I can forgive, Lord. You'll help me forgive, Lord, right? Amen. Because how many know it's important? And we realize and we recognize I have to forgive, and maybe you're having difficulty. It looks like it's, Lord, I'm struggling to forgive. Grace to that mountain. Amen. Grace to the mountain. I speak it more. And it becomes what? A level plain. That's the same as what he's talking about in Mark 11:23. Whosoever shall what? Say to this mountain, right? Mark 11. Let's go over there. This is all about the grace of God. This is part of that. Grace and what? Faith often work together. When we understand what Jesus has done, how many know grace begins to come? Grace. We receive grace and we operate in what? Faith. We release our faith in what Jesus has already accomplished. When we recognize who he is, it's part of who God is. Amen. How many know that faith works by love, right? You heard that? Over there in Galatians 5, right? Faith works by love. And what we say, part of grace is God's love in action. God's love flowing through you. His divine ability rising up on the inside. And here he says, for verily I say to you that whosoever shall say unto the mountain, it sounds like grace to the mountain, Lord, it will become a plain, or it's going to disappear. It's coming down in Jesus' name. When it looks impossible, we speak to the mountain. Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart the faith of God rising up, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He's going to have whatsoever he saith. Why? Because Jesus already paid a price. His grace went before us. His faith is rising up on the inside of us. See, it's still that we're saved. What? We move this mountain by grace through faith. Faith in what Jesus' work has accomplished. Amen. And we speak grace to that mountain. And it becomes a plain before us. Why? So that we can walk in it. We can walk in what he promised. It gets out of the way. Sometimes we have a mountain. Anybody ever faced a mountain of sickness? I faced a mountain of sickness. You guys know it. The first year we're here. Oh, here it came. You know, he tried to stop us. But I'm just letting you know, my metabolism's speeding up. I've decided to speak to my mountain. Hallelujah. She said, well, that's a big one. No, I'm just kidding. But it's not impossible. It's not impossible. Why? Because God has given us grace through faith. And we can speak grace to that mountain. My body's healthy and whole, strong and vibrant. The power of God's moving through my veins, affecting a healing and a cure in every part of my body. Every trace of weakness and sickness is leaving me. Glory to God, because by His stripes I was healed. That's the grace of God. God wants us to receive those things. And it's the grace of God. He moved what? He became poor through us. We know the grace. Right? 2 Corinthians 8:9. The grace of God. Where Jesus became poor, that we through His poverty might be rich. Maybe that's the mountain you're on. I need some more money, Jesus. I gotta have some more cash. Well, He said He is able. 2 Corinthians 9:8, just the chapter over, right? He is able to make all grace abound toward us. That we having all sufficiency in all things may what? Abound to every good work. Woo, glory. He makes His grace abound toward us. His divine influence, His divine power flowing in us. Glory to God. Woo, how many are glad for the grace of God? Yeah, that's right. Just receive it. We can just receive it. We can walk in it. We can have it. That we can continue to pursue Him, continue to speak to that mountain and watch our mountains disappear. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Well, glory. Let's stand up. Just worship Him for a minute. Thank You for Your grace, Father. Thank You for Your grace, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank You for the grace, God. Your word, Father, expressing the difference, Lord. We could have a relationship with You, Lord. Hallelujah. It's not some formal theology. It's not some old thing that lived long ago, but it's very alive and well on the inside of every one of us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank You, Father. It's just we receive, Lord, Your grace to walk with You, to speak to the mountain in our life, Father. To see things change about us, Lord. Thank You for what You've given us, Lord. We bless You, Lord. We thank You for all we have and that all that You're going to continue to do. We worship You, Father. Hallelujah. Grace to pray. Grace to move forward with You, Lord, in this life. Overcoming every obstacle, Father. We thank You. We give You glory. Thank You for Your grace, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah.